Hey, welcome back to the all-new SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We're going to continue our conversation with the CEO of Block 6 Analytics, Adam Grossman. How much are the Cubs spending to renovate Wrigley Field?
Well, it's an interesting question because it's not just that they're renovating Wrigley Field. They're also doing a lot of renovations outside of Wrigley Field in terms of they're building a new administrative offices near the field. They're helping to build hotels and restaurants in and around Wrigley Field. So they've done a lot of work both inside the field and outside the field. So it's going to be hundreds of millions of dollars renovations. And what's interesting is the Cubs did try to push for some public financing of the renovations, but now they've decided to do it virtually entirely, if not entirely, by private funding. So the Cubs are committing hundreds of millions of dollars, and the Ricketts family are committing hundreds of millions of dollars to making these renovations. And there's still a lot of work that needs to be done. But so far, even with the new clubhouses and some of the changes that they've made, you know, there's been a lot of support and a lot of good feedback already. So there's definitely going to be some, you know, the construction will be difficult, and it's interesting to still play in a ballpark while you're renovating a ballpark, which the Cubs have done this year. But they have, you know, they're doing the best that they can. Fans are still having a really great experience, and as long as they continue to have the Cubs experience that they've come to love and only have it improved by having better facilities, you know, I think the Cubs are in really good position to have the ballpark be successful for another 114 years.
Do you agree that the Chicago Cubs, that they are perhaps one of the hottest brands in the U.S. right now?
Absolutely. I think you could argue they are the hottest brand in the U.S. right now. And the idea of, you know, everybody, you know, even if you didn't watch the game, everybody knew the Cubs story. Everybody was, you know, it's unfortunate for the Cleveland Indians, because if it weren't for the Chicago Cubs, then they would clearly be the talk of the country and the talk of what was happening, and probably would have gotten the support of most of the country, given the fact that they hadn't won a World Series in 68 years, but some of the heartbreaking stuff that has gone on when they got to the World Series. But the Cubs, again, the Cubs have a feel-good story. They have a really compelling narrative. They have stars. They have, you know, stars on the field, off the field. They have the venue itself as a star. They have the city, you know, the way that they represent the city of Chicago. You know, the actors who supported it, they sing, you know, whether it's Bill Murray or, you know, Will Ferrell as he, you know, portrays Harry Carey.
I mean, right.
The Cubs were already a large national brand. And a lot of that had to do with what happened. You know, the Cubs were one of the first teams to have a national television rights deal where, you know, they were broadcast throughout the entire country as early as the late 40s and early 50s. And the idea of them being a national team now is not that difficult to see, given the infrastructure they put in to make that happen. And, yeah, I mean, it's hard to think of a brand that has a better narrative now going, you know, inside or outside of sports, going at the end of 2016.
The CEO of Block 6 Analytics, Adam Grossman, is with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker-Campbell. We're going to shift gears now. I've been reading some of your recent posts and articles, and one of the things I wanted to examine, let's talk about, you know, it's been a very intense political season. I'm glad it is finally over. Both sides, very passionate. I tell you what, I'm dragging this week. I'm a little bit tired, Adam. Oh, my gosh. So, you know, tell us what your recent post was about, and athlete endorsements. How does, you know, I have to wonder this too. I mean, how does this affect an athlete's brand when you're endorsing a particular candidate, or does it?
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting question. I mean, I think this is not the first political activism. You know, one of the people we talk about is LeBron James in the article, and he's been more politically active than, you know, Michael Jordan famously said, you know, Republicans buy sneakers too, where LeBron, you know, he's fair to make it. He wanted to take as apolitical a stand as possible, where LeBron James clearly has made political statements, and I don't think it's really, you know, you could say it helped or hurt his brand too much. But certainly the tradition is for athletes to make limited political comments, and even when it's not just limited to athletes. You know, Bob Costas during a Sunday Night Football game tried to make a speech about gun control and gun violence. He was roundly criticized for saying, you know, why are you, this is not your area of expertise. Why are you talking about these issues? So, you know, I think, and more recently we were talking about Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, to a certain extent seem to have endorsed Trump, although that is very, it's not totally clear what that is.
Right.
Tom Brady's wife, Gisele Bündchen, vehemently denied that he was voting for Donald Trump, even though it seemed like he was. So, but the idea of, you know, athletes in general are very risk averse when it comes to making political endorsements. So I don't think we're necessarily going to see a lot of people a lot of athletes continuing to do that. I think the athletes that will continue to make political statements are ones like LeBron James or Tom Brady, in terms of like saying we support a certain candidate. Now, what's been interesting in terms of what's come up, especially in terms of NFL ratings and them being down year over year, especially compared to 2015 and 2014, is the political statement being made by Colin Kaepernick and it, how kneeling during the national anthem and how a lot of football players have been talking about police violence and the racial and ethical and political implications of that, there is definitely something to be said that, you know, for some people that helps the brand, for some people that's hurt their brand, and it's definitely something to take a look at. You know, our personal, or my personal stance and the stance of the company is that, you know, expression and expression of ideas is always a good thing, and being able to debate and discuss those ideas. But there is, you know, people are going to then react to those ideas, and understanding how people react is something that, you know, athletes and whoever is taking a political stand will have to think about. But in terms of the overall brand, you know, again, I think it depends on, you know, obviously this is a kind of a cop-out answer, but it depends on the person, depends on the brand, depends on the issue. And, you know, when it comes to presidential endorsements, that really usually has very little impact on the athlete's overall brand.
Some see it as a positive, some see it as a negative. Just quickly, as we wrap up our time, what did you share in some of your recent articles? And perhaps what's been some of the feedback that you've been receiving as well, Adam?
I think the most recent thing, and again, this is not to bring up the election again, but one of the things that people have said about the election is that data, you know, predictive analytics, data analysis is dead. How can people be so wrong? And how can the experts in politics be so wrong about what was going to happen during the presidential election? And that is definitely worthy of more analysis. But there are some things to consider. One is Secretary Clinton actually did receive more popular votes than President-elect Trump, and more overall votes, even though President-elect Trump won the Electoral College. And a lot of the models going into the election had Secretary Clinton up by about 3%, or the average was about 3%, and she's going to end up winning the popular vote by 1.5 to 2%. So in and of itself, that there's error there, but it's not as big of an error as people think. And the other more important issue, I think, is the way that data is actually collected when it comes to politics. In particular, pollsters have to use survey data in which they rely on people saying things rather than actions and behavior. And that's the big difference when it comes to survey data versus actual behavior and actual actions. You know, people can say things, and again, not people are not necessarily lying. This is, you know, people say what they what they're going to do, and you can take them at their word for the most part. But, you know, there are going to be changes in what people say and what they actually do. In particular, in this election, there is an argument to be made that there was some response bias where more people said they were going to vote for Secretary Clinton when they actually, in reality, they ended up voting for Donald Trump. Particularly in rural areas, and getting a representative sample and making sure and, you know, only being reliant on what people say as opposed to actions caused problems and caused errors that happened in the election and the results. So, you know, I think the reaction is from a lot of people that we've gotten is you're in the data analytics business, mm-hmm. and yet here's a spectacular failure of data analytics. And what I would say is that this actually is a triumph, not a triumph, but it shows you the importance of getting good data. That you have to have the right data in order to do the right analysis. And in politics, it is almost impossible to get exactly the right data. And relying on survey data can lead to problems in strategic thinking and in predictive outcomes. And I think this is an example of that happening.
It was stunning, no doubt about it. Always a fascinating discussion with Adam Grossman, the CEO of Block 6 Analytics. Quickly tell all of our audience where they can go and check you out online.
Yeah, you can check us out at block6analytics.com. You can check us out on Facebook by searching for Block 6 Analytics, and at Twitter with Block, the number 6 Analytics as well.
And, of course, we look forward to the book in the spring. So all the best, and we look forward to talking to you again real soon. Thank you, Adam. Great way to kick off our program tonight.
Thank you, Alyssa.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way right here at the all-new SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show.